Katie, just messing with you. Okay, everyone behaving now. We're back on. We're being recorded. Number lesson two for tonight. Lesson two, the nature of the Bible. So this lesson concerns itself with an overall survey of the English Bible. And so it's in preparation as we make a start. Man, that's good rain, isn't it? That's good rain. So number one for your notes, we're going to be looking at its names and titles. So there is several names used to describe the Christian's book. And the first one is the books. The books for your notes, the books. So it talks about, in Mark 12, talks about the book of Moses. Another place talks about the book of Isaiah, the book of the prophets. So as you read through scripture, you'll read where it's called the book or books, if you want to add that to it. It comes from the word biblos, meaning books. And so the Bible is not just a book, it is the book. It is the only book that we hold to and as we live our lives, as we try to do that. Then you also find that it's called the Old and New Testaments. In Luke 22, talks about this cup of the New Testament. So it talks about those things in 1 Corinthians 11, again, concerning the Lord's Supper. If you have a look, come over to 2 Corinthians in verse and chapter 3. 2 Corinthians 3. I remember years ago playing indoor cricket, and we played in a big shed, and there were several courts, and it would pour rain like this, like it's doing now, and you couldn't hear each other. You're just yelling. And you're everyone's hoarse at the end of it, trying to yell at each other, you know, about take a catch or don't be so stupid for dropping it or whatever. But I'm glad we're doing something a little bit better than indoor cricket when it's pouring rain. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 3, look in verse 6, who also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So again there it talks about the New Testament, able ministers of the New Testament. So as a preacher, I want to be an able minister of the New Testament, but I also see there, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Why? Because the letter kills. I can give you doctrine after doctrine after doctrine and be dogmatic. I mean, I can give you data, I can give you doctrinal knowledge, but that's not what I want to give you, devotional knowledge. You need doctrine, you need data. But if all we ever get is doctrine and data, it kills. The Spirit gives life. The letter of the law, it kills. There's the Spirit. So as we live our lives, yes, it is the New Testament. So the New Testament, Old Testament means covenant or agreement. For your notes, it's a covenant or agreement. And the division of the Bible into Old and New Testaments is a basic division of the old covenant of the law and the new covenant of grace. Who's heard of Dr. Lester Roloff? Yeah. Oh, Dr. Roloff, he had a message on Dr. Law and Dr. Grace, and he just shows how the law is just there to condemn, but go to Dr. Grace. So law and grace. It's also called the Scriptures. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. All Scriptures given by inspiration. It's called the Scriptures. It's called the Word of God. Romans 10 verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Can I encourage you to be reading your Bible? Read your Bible. You want your faith to grow? Read your Bible. Faith cometh by hearing. Listen to it being preached and teached. Taught. Listen to it being preached and taught or brought and taught, however you want to say it. But sit under the Word of God. If you will listen to it, your faith will grow. So then faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
It doesn't come by watching. It comes by hearing. We hear it. We're supposed to follow it. We're supposed to hear it. Alexander Scorby, there's an app for your phones. If you want to do that, I've got that. When I go for a walk each morning, I put Alexander Scorby in and I listen to the Bible being read. And I'll walk and I'll just listen. I'm driving out to work. I'll put it on for an hour and I'll just listen to him read through the scriptures. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. If we would take time to read, to hear it. So yes, read it. And as opportunity comes, you sit under the preaching and the teaching of it. Listen to it. Just listen to somebody reading it. And you get to hear it. And you'll find your faith will grow. Just make opportunity as you're driving along, as you're doing it, for the word of God is quick and powerful. It's called the word of God. It's the most significant, pictorial, and complete name for the Bible. Then there's the psaltric titles. The psaltery titles. Come over. Let's go to Psalm 19 and Psalm 119. Well, that rain was short-lived. I appreciate the rain part. I love the rain. I can sit there and listen to it all day. But my voice ain't going to last if I've got to yell over the top of the rain. In Psalm 19, there are some titles as you read through some Psalms, and you'll see some of the titles. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Who feels like singing that as you go? Even as you read it, I've heard it, turn into a scripture song, and sometimes you get to those verses as you're reading them, your mind starts going to the tune for the song. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So there are some of the names. Come over to Psalm 119. And as we just look at this first stanza of this psalm. Psalm 19 is the Word of God psalm, and it uses a number of titles for the Word of God, for the Bible. Blessed are, reading from verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. So for your notes there, obviously it's law, the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and they and that seek him with a whole heart. They also do not iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. And I will praise thee with the uprightness of heart. I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, so forsake me not utterly. So as you read down, especially down through Psalm 119, as you read down through each of them, you'll come across those descriptions of the Word of God. Now, its contents, it contains 66 books, 39 old, 27 new, yet it's one book. It bears the witness of one God, one continuous story, one plan of salvation, one central theme, and that central theme is Jesus Christ. Even from the beginning, it pointed through to Jesus Christ, the seed that would come through. Augustine, there are different opinions on Augustine, if he was a saved man or just a religious man, but he did make one true statement. The New Testament is the old concealed, and the old is in the new revealed. You can have New Testament doctrine or New Testament belief, New Testament, New Testament, New Testament, But then you go over to the Old, and you're going to find illustrations in the Old of the New Testament. I love preaching out of the Old Testament because you already got the New. Now all you do is you bring out the stories and the account of the Old, and you bring it out. As it just breathes life into it. But if all you had was the Old, you think, these are good stories or good accounts. Yeah, I understand that they're true. I understand they're complete. I understand that I have them. But once you have the New, it opens up the Old. But the Old was a shadow of what was to come in the New. We need both. We need both. You can't do one without the other. One helps from one to the other. It's composition. So there are 40 human writers, approximately 40 different writers. They came, they were separated by time and station. Time, obviously, station as in station of life. What they were, you know, the sort of people. There's prophets, kings, statesmen, herdsmen, fishermen, pastors, soldiers, ex-Pharisees, you know, tax collectors. There's all sorts of people in there. But God just went ahead and did that. You know, so, you know, you look at David, and you know, David, he was a king, but he's also an adulterer and a murderer. So you know, with that, don't ever think, oh, you know, I've done this. I don't know if God will ever use me. The story's not finished yet. Rahab, all through Scripture, is known as the harlot. But you read Matthew 1, she's in the line of Christ. How could a harlot get in the line of God's work of grace? Don't ever think, I've done this and this. Oh, I'm going to be enough. The story isn't finished. Let the story of your life finish, and let God just do with you what people think, wow, I had no idea that would ever happen to them. So it's all different time, station, different things. The period of writing was over approximately 1,600 years. Its languages are Hebrew and Greek, and it's Koine Greek, the common Greek. Some parts of Daniel were written in Syriac, some parts of New Testament in Aramaic. Are we all together? Yeah, taking care of the cockroaches. That's what we like. We like to do that every year. Okay, let's go. Let's turn over to Luke 24. New Testament, Luke 24. So it's construction, there's three divisions of the Old Testament that are given in Luke 24, verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. So for your notes there, prophets, Moses, the prophets, the Psalms. So the thing of the prophets is divided into former and latter prophets, the Psalms, there's some of those Hebrew names there. The sacred writings in the through the Psalms, Chronicles through the. Who's ever seen a chronologically written Bible? Yeah, Linda found one for me at one of the second-hand stores, and it's broken and it's put together not in the same order as our Bibles are, but chronologically. So I thought, and I looked at it, I thought, hey, that's different, isn't it? You flick through, and sometimes you got a part of the first or second Samuel, and then there's a psalm next to it as well, because this psalm goes along with this point in history, and also it's a different way of looking at it, you know. But the Hebrew Bible, it finishes. It doesn't finish with Malachi, the Old Testament for the Hebrew. It finishes with, is it Nehemiah, is it? or Chronicles. I think it might be Chronicles or Nehemiah, one of those. It's a totally different order as you look at it. But the Psalms there, the sacred writings, Chronicles, Canticles, or Song of Solomon, with the exceptions, there's some exceptions there above going through the prophets. So there are, in dividing the books of the Bible in our English Bibles, we generally use a 4x4 construction. So in the Old Testament, there is the law, the history, the wisdom, and the prophecy, and they're all pretty much straightforward. So from the close of the Old Testament to the beginning of the New, there are 400 years, and they are termed the 400 silent years. So the Lord was silent. Does that mean to say nothing yet? No, there was stuff going on. God's people were still going on. Nothing was written. Now, the Apocrypha, who's heard of the Apocrypha? So the Apocrypha, there are some things in the Apocrypha that take place in that 400 silent years. The Apocrypha isn't included in the canon of Scripture because it's not viewed to be inspired of God. Is what is written in there correct? Yes, but not inspired to be in the canon of Scripture. So in the Catholic Bible, that they have it in there. I was at a Catholic wedding and they're reading from the Book of Tobit. I thought, man, I've never, what's that? You know, and then that's the Apocrypha. So they include it in their canon of Scripture, whereas we don't include it. When you come to the New Testament, it too, as the old, is broken down into four areas. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. The history, which is Acts. The epistles, which run Romans on through to Jude. And then the prophecy, and that's Revelation. So both the Old Testament and the New Testament are broken down those four subject areas. As you can see, we are getting through the notes. You looked at the beginning and thought, are we going to get through the... We'll get through the notes. There are references there for you to go back on and to review down the road and to do it. So let's go through some of the symbols of what the Bible is and continue working through our notes. So in James chapter 1 and verses 23-25, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. It's a mirror. You look into that glass. You ladies like to look in. These days, boys like looking in the glass, you know, mirrors. And just, yeah, make a shoot. Now you got to, you know, walk past the mirror and they have a look. Yeah. Oh, please. You know, these guys, they got these little noodle arms and they roll their sleeves up. They think, mate, you got nothing in that sleeve. You don't need to roll it up. What are you showing off for? They roll up their little noodle arms. This is not a time for confession. Yeah, a long time ago, Brother John. I didn't say Brother Johnny on the recording. We'll call him Brother. But we need. Do you really want to know how you look? You look in the mirror. Do you really want to know how you look spiritually? Look in the mirror. You want to know if everything's in place, don't you? You want to make sure you're good to go before you step out. Well, so too in our Christian lives. Look into the perfect law of liberty. Have a look. Is everything in place? Because this book isn't going to tell you about your hair. It's not gonna reveal anything rather than what's in your heart. And that's what we want. We want to make sure, what is my heart attitude like? Because we may not have, remember, we may not have everything perfect and correct. But look at a heart attitude and see where it's at. So that is its revealing power. And it does reveal. You think, man. I was preaching in America on this past trip, and I was preaching, and right at the end of the service, this fella calls out from down the back, "Are you preaching to me?" And the answer is always yes. Yeah, well, you're here. I'm preaching to you. I'm not preaching to no one that's not here. And the pastor stood up and said, "Brother, he's not only preaching to you, he's preaching to me too. He's preaching to all of us. We all need the book. We all need it." Brother Phil and I were talking today. We need preaching. We need to sit under the ministry. We need to listen to it. We need it. "Oh, yeah, I can't wait to be a pastor. I'll never have to sit on the preaching again." Oh, you dummy, you're going to realise I need it more. If we're always pouring ourselves out, we're going to need to keep taking in to be able to keep giving out. And it's that's the revealing power. In 1 Peter, let's come over to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter 1 and verse 23. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." That's its regenerating power. You know, the word of God, you sow that thought. Pastor was talking yesterday about that in the morning service. He just kept hearing that voice. You'll be surprised just what verses will just jump out at you. I know this preacher in the States, and when he first got saved, he was still smoking pot. He was still smoking marijuana. He's still doing pot. First got saved, he didn't know any different. It's herbal. He was still there. He was doing that, but he kept reading the Bible. He kept reading the Bible, and he got to it in the prophets in over there in Samuel there, and it says you know, "Oh prophet," or I forget what it is, "there is death in the pot." And God spoke to his heart and smote him, and he says, "Oh, I better stop that," and he stopped it. God spoke to his heart about smoking pot. When he says there is death in the pot, you'll be amazed at how the word of God will speak to somebody's heart. He says, "I know that's not what it means, but God spoke to my heart and smote me when I read that." You'll be amazed at what you'll read, and God, that you'll hear that voice go off, and you think, "Where'd that come from? Who's?" Oh no, you're just reading that book. And the author is there. The Bible is the only book where the author is right there with you when you read it. And all you're reading something, and all of a sudden something goes off, and think, "Oh, well, that can't be me." Yeah, Neil, that's you. But that's what he said. He said, "I was reading this, it says death in the pot." And he said, "Man, I stop. I just, oh man, that's going to kill me, that stuff." So he stopped. But you know, that word of God, it'll keep going off in your head. And it'll just keep sounding and sounding. And you think, "Man, I can't get away from it." That's what it's supposed to do. And it brings that sinner to salvation. Because we realise, I don't match, I don't measure up. I don't have enough. But another part of the Bible says, you don't have it, but Christ has it. If you'll turn away from your old life, if you'll turn to him, you can have it. And it'll be a little verse that'll go off, a little verse that goes off. It'll just be something that gets somebody's attention that brings them to salvation. Everybody comes through a different way, but we all get the same deal. None of us did anything more than anybody else, but we all got a good deal. God got ripped off. We got a good deal. Ding! Time's up. Okay, it's as a lamp that is the illuminating power. Thy word is a lamp under my feet and a light under my path. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. So we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. You know, that light, the light of the gospel will shine. And the Bible, it has illuminating power. The light gets turned on in somebody's heart. Have you ever read something you think, God, there's something in this, but I just can't see it. Have you ever done that? You look and think, man, I see it, but I don't see it. And you might read through your Bible again, and you come across it another time, and you think, ding, the light goes off, just like that, ding, it goes off, and you see it. That's what it is. I see that now. And you want that. You want the light to go off. You want those, lots of noodles. Who knows that? Lots of noodles. That ad from years ago. I said, man, am I the only one? I was in America and I said, lots of noodles. And they were looking at me like.
Same as us,
bro. The kids, there's two kids, there's chicken noodle soup. And one kid says to the other kid, what's it called? And he says, lots of noodle. But what's it called? Lots of noodle. But what's it called? Lots of noodle. Lots of noodles. You know, the light goes off. And we need those moments when the light goes off and we say, lots of noodles. My kids have been saying that ever since we got back, you know, on the trip. Lots of noodles. Americans, they loved it. They started laughing when I told them with the ad that it came from and everything. But we need that light. We need that illuminating power. The Bible has illuminating power. And the darker the night, the brighter the light shines. We need that. It's also called a sword, and it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Why does something have two edges? It cuts both ways. It penetrates. If you've only got a sharp edge on one side, it's only cutting flesh as it goes in. But if it's sharp on both sides, it cuts in there real easy. We're up in New York State, and this preacher said to me, he said, would your eldest boy like a knife? I said, yeah, I reckon he would. This was 2008. It was Mitchell, my son. And I said, Mitch, come here. And Mitchell came over. I said, the preacher wants to give you a knife. Would you like a knife? Okay, so he goes in. And he comes back, and the preacher had several knives there, and he said he could choose. So Mitchell chose a knife. And he come back. I said, what'd you get? And he showed me this knife, black, the blade about this long, not a very wide blade. And he hops in the car, and the preacher comes to me. He said, your boy chose a good knife. That'll go between the ribs very well. I thought, okay, I'm thinking, I'm not going to tell him that. I'm just going to leave that. You know, this guy had a bit of a mafia background, you know, and I think, okay, well, thanks, preacher. You know. But I bring pocket knives back when I travel to America. This trip come back, the boys, Luke and Marcus bought knives. And a preacher over there gave us each a knife and brought them back. And I had them all in one bag coming in. Customs want to see a knife. They want to see. And because they want to know, what sort of knife are you bringing back? Years ago, I tried to get knives back into the country. I wasn't even thinking. I said, they you know, because I give you a declaration card. And I said, I had a look at it. And they said, you know, weapons, blah, blah, blah. No. Well, they x-rayed my bag. Oh, what's in here? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, that's mine. This is a knife. Yeah. It says weapons. I says, that's not a weapon, that's a knife. Well, to me, it's not a weapon. I take it to work to peel my oranges and apples. It's not, you know, it is not a weapon. It could be, you know, I'm thinking, sucker, I'm going to give you a weapon in a minute. You know, I'm going to take this pen out of my pocket and stick it up your nose. You know, you don't feel all that gracious after a 14-hour flight. You're up all night and your stressometer's on red line. But those knives, they want to know, when I bring knives back into the country, are they double-edged? Are they spring-assisted? What sort of knife is it? You know, the Word of God, it's double-edged. It cuts both ways. It easily gets in there and it just cuts. So as we go through the Word of God, as we go through the whole armour of God, what we're going to find is you want to make sure there's a difference between wounding somebody and injuring somebody. Too many people injure others with their knowledge of the Bible where we're supposed to wound them. A surgeon, when you go into hospital, will wound you to heal you. The thug down the street will injure you. There is a difference how we use the Word of God. And it comes back, how we use the Word of God comes back to a sincerity of heart. It all comes back to that heart attitude. The unseen thing. That shows its convicting power. Its convicting power. In Jeremiah 23 verse 29, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? That's its destructive power. There are strongholds in our lives, there are areas in our lives where we need the Word of God to minister and to destroy and to break down those things that new can be built. It can be replaced. It's a tree. It's talked about there as a tree, about wisdom and these things out of Proverbs. It's like as to a tree. And that shows its flourishing power. Now ye clean through the word which I've spoken unto you, talking about the water of the word in Ephesians 5, the washing of the water by the word. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So the water of the word tells of its cleansing power. Tells of its cleansing power. You stay in that book, it'll keep you clean. It'll help you to keep a clean heart if we'll just take it. It's called milk, bread, meat and honey. There's different references down through there about that through scriptures. Newborn babes desire and see milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. There's that hunger for the word of God. They want the milk. Those little babies, they know mama's milk. They want that milk. There's the meat of the word. There's the meat out of Hebrews 5. In Psalm 19 talks about being sweeter than honey and the honeycomb, the word of the Lord. In Amos chapter 8 talks about, it likens, well, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of war, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And you know, we live in a place where it's hard to get a drink and it's hard to get a feed. There is a famine of the Word of God in Australia. We're hungering, we want it. I'm telling you again, it is exciting to see people want to come out for something extra. To have a hunger. Yeah, I want more, I'm wanting that. It's exciting. It really is exciting. And just all that, you know, we're starting here and Christians wanting to grow. It's just exciting. But that tells me of three things. It's nourishing, sustaining, and satisfying power. It's nourishing, sustaining, and satisfying power. Come over to John chapter 5. John 5 and verse 39. John 5:39. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The theme of the Bible is Jesus Christ. Christ in the Old Testament was anticipation. Christ in the New Testament became realization. Anticipation and realization. In the Old Testament, the law was the foundation for Christ. The history was a preparation for Christ. The poetry was the aspiration for Christ. And the prophecy was the expectation of Christ. And how we can take out of that for us that we would aspire to be Christ-like. We aspire. We have that aspiration to be like him, that we think, man, I've tried this myself and it hasn't worked. I need him to be Christ-like. That aspiration, that prophecy, that expectation. He's coming back. When's he coming back? Maybe tonight. That's the next major thing on the calendar. He's coming back. We need to make sure we're ready. We don't know when he's coming back, but he's coming back. In the New Testament, we'll keep moving. The Gospels is the manifestation of Christ. Wouldn't it be good if our lives could manifest Christ? The history, which is the book of Acts, is a propagation of Christ, how Christ was publicized and multiplied. It went out. The epistles is the interpretation of Christ. The prophecy in the New Testament is the consummation of Christ. Imagine, I don't know what it'd be like to see when the conquering victor Christ, the conquering king, enters a stadium with all his people down through the ages cheering him on. You know, hey, I'll cheer when someone's made a break and they're running down the sideline. I'll cheer them on. Go, 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 go. What it'd be like when the saints of all ages are gathered together and Christ, the conquering king, enters the stadium. The cheers, the rapture, the praise. When he comes in, having defeated all before him. The time's coming. The time is coming. You know, we just read the end of the book. Skip the rest of it. Get to the end. He's the winner. He's the winner. We're not on the losing side. The devil's going to try to tell you, you're on the losing side. We're not on the losing side. We're on the winning side. The final bell hasn't gone yet. We're going to come through winners on the end. Just stay in the race. Stay in the fight. Just keep pressing on. Some Bible statistics. The following are some things about the English Authorized King James Version. 1,189 chapters. 929 in the Old, 260 in the New. The shortest chapter, Psalm. Anyone want to guess? Someone want to guess? 117. Someone guess right? The longest, come on, someone have the longest chapter. 119. 119 is the longest. The middle chapter of the Bible. Use a close. Psalm 117 is the shortest and the middle. Psalm 107, there's 594 chapters before it, 594 after it. O praise the Lord, ye nations, praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. 31,174 verses. The middle verses is 15,587 and 88, which equates to Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. So it's all about our trust. So the longest verse is Esther 8:9, the shortest. John 11:35, Jesus wept. All the kids like to pull that one out if they're really stuck at some sort of Bible camp or some day school. They'll pull that one out. Jesus wept. John 11:38. Nah, you're wrong. You know, they'll give it a shot. 774,746 words. Shortest book in the Bible is John 2. Obadiah. The shortest book in the Bible is John 2. Obadiah is the shortest book of the Old Testament. And there we have it. Memory verse. Search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So there we go. We finished it. You'd be looking, thinking, will we get through this? Yeah, we'll get through it. We just hit overdrive. We chased a couple of rabbits. We didn't catch them, but we scared them. They took off real good. But, you know, we'll see if we can chase them up next week. As I'm sure you've already noticed, when I teach, I preach, and when I preach, I teach. I'll just do whatever it takes. If I can help you to get the book and learn it, I don't want to just teach you stuff and give you that. I want to be able to teach it, but also help you to live it out, make application for you to do it. So, class, thank you very much. Your first night down. Next Monday night, I will be away at work, but there'll be two video classes for you next Monday night. Okay? So please be in prayer for the Bible Institute. I'm away next Monday night. So next Monday, don't blame him. Next Monday night is, I won't be here, I'll be away at work. But there'll be a video class next Monday night. 6:30, meet here. Pen and paper, bring it, grab some notes, and it'll be set up ready to go. Thank you, class. Please be in prayer for it all. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for our time tonight. We thank you, God, for your word. God, just how powerful it is, and may God, your word find its way into our hearts. God, please create a love for your book. God, those of us that have a love for it, may God, that love be deeper and stronger. That Lord, we can always stand in amazement of what your book can do. Father, thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. Lord, help us to grow. God, not that we might be great Bible scholars, but that, Father, we'd have a humble walk before you, and that, Father, we might be a light, Lord, in a dark place, Lord, to have something, Lord, to give to a lost and dying world. Lord, give us a good week, and may God, we see your grace and strength. Father, continue on now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.